He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday. It is the August 15th live edition. As we hit the midpoint of Q3 2023, and we're not having fun yet in the market. It started off okay, and then it's just kind of gone south since then. A lot of global news today to talk about. The Dow is now down 280 points. It's at 35,027. The NASDAQ, which actually was just barely down at the start, is now down 126. That's 90 basis points. It's at 13,665. The S&P 500 is down 39 to 44.50. Small caps down 0.9%. Looking for some green somewhere, not finding it. Maybe my lawn. The crude oil is down $1.32 to 81.19 as several countries around the world having a bit of turmoil with their currencies, their economies, etc. We'll get to that in a bit. Gold is down 8.50. Silver's down 11 cents. The euro is flat, 109 on the euro. The 10-year is 4.18. I haven't seen an opening bid yet here for the 10-year. But I saw that the 5-year went above 5%, or the 2-year went above 5% yesterday. That's incredible. And last but not least, Bitcoin, down $20 to $29,333. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson, professional money manager, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, chartered financial analyst, certified financial planner. We had an okay start to the week yesterday. In fact, the NASDAQ had a pretty good day yesterday. The NASDAQ was up.
Chip names.
Yeah, was up 143 yesterday. And now it's giving it all back up today. We'll try to decipher as to why. It was NVIDIA yesterday, AMD, a few other chip names. But the bond market is a problem right now. The 10-year, I haven't seen an opening to it yet. It's the 10-year is at 4.18 right now. That's where it closed yesterday. And I haven't seen a new bid here yet today, but it looks to be pretty
4.1,
flat.
Yeah, right. It's basically down a basis point. It's at just under 4.17.
Yes, okay. So it's flat today, but the 2-year went above 5 this morning. We haven't seen that for a while, short-term interest rates. And it seems to be tied to the amount of borrowing, the stunning amount of borrowing.
Yeah, it's new issuance because, I mean, you got to think it's just like, corporations spent. I mean, they spent down the coffers, right? They spent their cash balances down to zero, basically, during the debt
COVID
crisis. Right, well, and during debt crisis.
Debt crisis, that's right.
In terms of the debt ceiling debate. And so you got to refill it. And, of course, everyone knows you got to refill it also. And so that's simply them issuing, right, and so in this instance, they're issuing, putting a lot of issuance out there, which means supply is higher, which means the price is down and yield is up, and so it's kind of hard to decipher right now between, we've gotten some good, decent CPI and PPI reports, and then, of course, on the other side of it, interest rates are going in a different direction from that, and that all has to do with, like you said, that issuance.
Yeah. Well, and yesterday was the first really, really encouraging day across the board in the NASDAQ, in the tech stocks, which have taken a breather, a big-time breather. This first half of the third quarter has been absent the tech stocks, and they had a good day. I mean, for the first time, I saw some meaningful gains in Apple and Microsoft and Alphabet, and NVIDIA ended up 6%. Tesla continues to be weak. We'll take a look at Tesla. There's some more news out on Tesla today. But this 2 year going over 5% is a little bit worrisome. Now, okay, retail sales power past consensus in July. I think a part of that was Amazon's Prime Day. Core retail sales up 1%.
Probably helped that at retail sales. Yeah, they got a heck of a kind of do some kind of surveying in terms of annualizing that number, right? Whenever you throw in Prime Day in the middle.
Yes. So we're not exactly seeing a slowdown amongst the U.S. consumer. At least that's good news on that front. I can't imagine.
Yeah, and of course that's not great for interest rates. Obviously, that's the side of that is, the flip side of that is any good news, right, from an economic perspective could be bad news, right, for interest rates. So.
Yes, but it seems like the U.S. consumer, the economy, continues to do well. What will the Fed do at their next meeting? We've had some earnings come in. We'll look at Home Depot, Cardinal Health reported, C Limited. And then we're going to get a few after the close. Cisco will report tomorrow along with Target. That's going to be an interesting one to watch. TJ Maxx, SQM, the lithium stocks continue to go nowhere. Thursday we get Walmart. That's a very important one. I would think Walmart would have a pretty good report. And on Friday we get Deere. Okay. Now we go to the global concerns that happened since yesterday. The Argentina Central Bank, for the umpteenth time, devalues the peso.
Yeah. Right.
And they hike rates after a shock primary election result. Okay. They've devalued their currency by close to 18%. So, money in the bank had $100,000 in the bank. It's now $72,000, right? $82,000. Just like that. They raised their benchmark lending rate by 21 percentage points to 118%.
That is some. How did you get to that number? If you're like a real central bank, and like, how did you get to that number?
118% is their lending rate. Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's like, they do in the streets of New York.
Yeah.
Come on, in the back alleyways.
Get the kneecaps, right? Yeah.
Holy cow. 118. Okay. So, and they also had an election. Of course, Argentina has just had nothing but trouble. I can't forever. Argentina's actually had a pretty good stock market this year.
Well, it's funny, as a reminder of inflation, I just pulled it out. It's a $5,000 bill from Venezuela, and it was issued a long time ago. But I mean, it just it shows you. Just the power, right, of inflation and the country, having a currency that's not stable, right?
Yes.
That's what I always joke around about the BRIC in terms of the B being Brazil. I think their currency's had a few different names over the last 30 years, which isn't very comforting.
But. Well, the guy who won the election, he wants to get rid of the peso and go to the dollar.
Yeah, see, change.
And he's being described as a far right radical. Okay, that, I think the terminology here has moved over the years. Was Ronald Reagan a far right radical? Maybe in today's vernacular, he was a far right radical, but. Anyways, each side continues to call each other
definitions,
radical.
Yeah, definitions seem to change over the years, right?
Yes, big time. So, anyways, that's their inflation rate's 100%. So a Big Mac,
Well, and they want to be paid in dollars. One of my first jobs out of college was at Merrill Lynch, and their employee stock option plans, and you could send, that we had Coca-Cola bottlers in Argentina, and their employees got stock options, and they wanted to be paid in dollars.
Pesos.
Right, they could actually choose which currency they wanted to get paid in, and it was always dollars.
Yes. Okay, the second big shoe to drop, the Russian Central Bank sharply hikes rates in an emergency to meet the ruble crash. Okay, well, another issue you have here is when bad things happen to bad countries, sometimes they'll lash out and do bad things, but their central bank raised their key interest rate by 350 basis points. Okay, we had 475.
That's a Volcker move.
In a row.
That's a Volcker move.
Yeah, they went from 8.5% to 12% as the Kremlin moves to stem the rapid weakening of the ruble.
Yeah, because it was getting, I mean, that's what I was talking about yesterday in terms of the U.S. dollar against a lot of currencies. With our interest rates going up, it makes our currency look better.
So they claim their inflation is only 4.4%, but then again, that comes from Pravda, you know, the Russian press. One more when we come back. What's going on in the world? This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. And I'm just going back to Russia for a minute and their collapsing ruble and their inflation problem and them raising interest rates by 350 basis points. Most of the analysts say that it's from their ever-increasing war spending, which won't be affected. In other words, they can hike rates all they want and try to get inflation under control, but the core issue is the war and the spending on the war against Ukraine. Okay, now, here's how you lower, Barry, the youth unemployment rate in China. Okay, China's got the answer. They're not going to report it anymore. China halts youth unemployment data. Right. Don't want the folks to know the truth.
Yeah, they know it, so they're just not going to halt giving it out.
But their economy, I mean, we just keep hearing. Last week, Joe Biden called their economy, President Biden, a ticking time bomb. And their youth unemployment rate, we know, has reached 21.3%.
So the national, a lot of unhappy young people.
Yeah, so the national, you don't want unhappy young people. Those are the things revolution is made of.
Right.
The National Bureau of Statistics report notably now omits the young people's unemployment rate. The decision comes as a slew of disappointing figures in recent months have reflected a slump as China's post-COVID rebound fades. A government spokesman said, well, you know, I mean, you just got to point to two things that China has done. They've done a lot of things wrong, but the COVID shutdown would be one. I mean, they have not recovered from that at all. Number two, I mean, they continue to crack down with a heavy hand on their companies and their tech companies and whatnot. So anyways, urban unemployment in China is 5.3%, if you can believe the numbers. But the youth is over 20%, like 22%. So they're just going to take that out of the report from now
just
on.
Just remove it, yeah.
Okay, what's Buffett buying? Well, we've been reporting today, a lot on the home builders. And it's counterintuitive that our 30-year is over 7%. You would think that would have really cooled off housing prices. But the problem is, and I've talked to people in the industry about this, I've got a friend, their family owns a nationwide Home Depot-like store, a franchise chain that sells to the builders. And last time I talked to him, he says, you know, it's just a matter of there's a shortage of homes. So, what is Buffett buying? He added I don't ever remember Buffett owning home builders, but he bought D.R. Horton, NVR. I think NVR is the one that's like $6,000 a share. Let me look that up. They've never done a split. Yeah, it's $6,166 a share. That's kind of like Buffett's. He loves companies like that. That's the way
like
he was.
Old, Berkshire A.
So NVR is 6,000 and is hitting new all-time highs. It's been a great stock over the years. And he bought Lennar, and he divested himself of McKesson, which is a low-margin, generic drug maker, and Marsh & McClanahan, which is an insurance, property and casualty insurer, and Vitesse Energy, which, let's see what Vitesse does, VTS. He still has a huge position in ConocoPhillips. Vitesse, I'm not sure quite what they do. They're in some kind of weird business in the energy investment management sector. But that's kind of surprising. He also increased his stake in Capital One, Occidental Petroleum. He reduced his holdings a little bit in Chevron. His largest holding is Apple at 916
really?
Million shares, according to the filing. Okay, but he's adding home builders. Okay, now... The survey of money managers. Okay, so now we're getting into guys like us, okay, not Goldman Sachs, not Wells Fargo, etc., but fund managers and money managers are becoming less bearish and buying more stocks and more tech and are increasingly confident that the U.S. economy will avoid a hard landing. Well, I'm not in that boat. I was in that boat in January of this year, and I was buying more stocks and tech and increasingly confident, but now we've had this giant run in the market. We hit the halfway point of the year, and everything needed to take a breather, and now you've got all these money managers. It just seems to me like they're late to the party. And, the whole time we were bullish at the beginning of the year, there weren't a lot of people out there or money managers that were.
You almost took the AI, tailwind, right, to kind of get folks moving.
Yes. Yeah, so the latest survey of 247 panelists showed that the sentiment is least bearish since February. Now, that in itself is a bearish indicator, right? Because you have too much optimism amongst the money managers, that's usually a bearish sign. So I just thought I would throw that out there. Okay, we have U.S. banks being warned by Fitch. What's wrong with Fitch? You know, can't they? They warn that banks could see more credit downgrades if the environment weakens. And that didn't have a good impact on the market last week when I think 10 or 12 banks were downgraded, and that came a week after U.S. debt was downgraded, and now they're threatening more banks. And the final story here in the first half of today's show is Tesla. Vehicle sticker shock, not to the upside, to the downside. And Tesla is down 1.8%. Tesla traded lower after the electric vehicle maker launched standard variants for its Model S and X vehicles that are $10,000 cheaper than the regular. So I guess they're kind of like really plain vanilla type cars.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, it's getting a lot of headlines, but it's really a very small amount of their older models, and it's a very small amount of actual the sales. I mean, I think the sales of those models were like 4% maybe at most the last quarter. The difference is they were higher margin, and of course that's why they were able to lower the price
so
much. Yes,
and the margins at Tesla are shrinking.
So it's more margin compression.
And let's not forget that a Model X, $98,490. Now they're lowering them to 88, a certain model. That's not a cheap car to buy. $98,400, but you can get it this week only for $88,490. Let's see if that'll get you.
Hope you didn't buy it yesterday.
A Tesla. Right. Okay, we'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. The market upset by several things. I'm going to probably say China's the biggest one. Lowering their interest rates to try to stimulate something. Also eliminating their youth unemployment report from their
data.
That's got to mean that it's really bad, okay? And so
they can't even fake it. Can't even, it's so bad they can't even fake it.
Yeah.
They're just going to get rid of it.
Just don't report it.
Golly.
There's times when I don't want to, even though I know the Padres lost, just don't even report it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see them dropping further in the standings. You know, just don't report it. That's how you get rid of it. But anyways, that's a problem. China's a problem. Let's not try to sugarcoat that all. That's a problem for the global economy. Then Russia's ruble, Russia's war on Ukraine, crushing their economy and their big intervention there. And then, of course, Argentina devaluing their peso and raising their Fed fund rate to over 100%. So we definitely have some global problems here to worry about. What in the world is going on with the world right now? And, of course, we have problems in America. who knows where these political issues are going to go, but it ain't pretty at all. Okay, so now back to Tesla just for a minute. I think we Model X.
And it's, I mean, to me, it's more of, I mean, they have the ability, right, from a pricing power standpoint to, as the particularly the leader from an, American perspective. I was reading some stuff in terms of, I think the 10 of the, 8 of the biggest 10 car makers are in China, or 7
yeah,
of the
well,
biggest 10.
Yeah, well,
you've
got Boyd
huge,
and
right?
Lee it's, and
yeah,
all of those. X-Pain.
Particularly on the EV side, obviously, and so, Tesla's competing there, with China, kind of head-to-head, in China. But also, they're able to, kind of help price out the Fords and, the folks who don't have that capacity ramp up yet, right?
No.
If you don't have the ramp, then you're going to be losing money in that sector for an extended period of time. And he's putting, pressure on, the other big automakers in the U.S. From that front, so.
Well, here's a stock that's up for the second day in a row and probably one of the most fantastic growth stocks in the market today, NVIDIA. NVIDIA gets its second upgrade in 2 days. It was the stock of the day yesterday, and it's just ironic that Morgan Stanley hates the market. Mike Wilson thinks that we're going to 3,500, but they recommend they put a buy on NVIDIA, which has got a P.E. ratio of 143. So it just seems a little bit illogical to me, but, what do I know? NVIDIA is up a little bit. It's up 88 cents today as it gets a second upgrade. UBS recommends that investors stay the course. Now, here's the big thing with NVIDIA. They're going to report earnings on the 23rd, 8 days from now. So that would be next Wednesday. That will be a red letter day. You would have to expect knock it out of the park earnings because, they already, they didn't warn. The opposite of warning. They said, wow, we are really raising our estimates for this quarter. Now, let's see. UBS raises their price target to $540. It's at $440 now, so that's $100 upside potential. We continue to own NVIDIA, and I think it's still our largest position. Now, here's another reason, and this may be one of the reasons behind that surprise announcement by NVIDIA about all the orders that were coming in. Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates are said to have bought thousands of NVIDIA GPUs for their AI efforts. Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates have reportedly bought thousands of NVIDIA graphics processing units to build artificial intelligence software. They've purchased at least 3,000 of NVIDIA's. You look up, how much does an H100 chip cost, Barry? Look that up. What's okay, the price of an, ask ChatGPT, is their big chip, 3,000, while the United Arab Emirates has secured access to thousands of NVIDIA chips. This is according to the Financial Times.
Between $30,000 and $38,000.
Okay, so, and you get an order for 3,000? The salesman that made the sales pretty happy, he's taking the kids to Disneyland and everything. That's a big commission there.
He's taking the kids to Dubai after that. Yeah, that's a sizable order.
Okay, now let's go to earnings. Home Depot.
$4 billion, maybe? I don't know.
Home Depot had a good report. They beat estimates in Q2. They reaffirmed their outlook for the full year, and they approved a $15 billion buyback program. So it was all good. Nothing wrong at all with their tax rate, 24.5%. CEO comment, there was strength in categories associated with smaller projects. And I keep hearing this, the large projects aren't happening. I think a lot of large projects were done during the COVID when we were at our homes. The swimming pools or whatever, the remodels, whatever it is. Home Depot, even on a pretty big down day for the market, Home Depot is up. Now, okay, let's take a look at Home Depot's valuation. For me, that's where the rubber hits the road. I currently have Home Depot with 37% upside potential. Now, I'll be updating my number today after the earnings report, but that's really mediocre upside potential. I mean, it's not the growth engine that it once was. Their sales were down 7%. Their earnings were down 4%. This has become a single-digit grower. This has become maybe a 6, 7, 8% growth company. When over the last 5 years, it's averaged 17%. So like Apple, eventually the numbers catch up with you and you can't put in those kind of massive growth numbers anymore. And that's why you've seen a slowdown in Home Depot's stock. Their earnings have basically gone flat for the last several years. Despite what they charge for a tray of Vinkas. I was there last night. One last little fall planting. I like Vinca's. They do really well here in our climate. They're beautiful plants. They're kind of Hawaii looking. But, man, they're not cheap, which leads me, I'm going to propagate my own Vinca's. I'm kind of a gardener at heart. I really like, I'm going to do cuttings. I'm going to get these Vinca's going really good, do cuttings. Maybe I'll sell them on the side at a cheaper price than Home Depot. Make some money that way. But they sure do good. I sure do like Vinca's, but they're not cheap. Anyways, that's Home Depot. Their earnings are out. And, of course, they're a member of the S&P 500. And I think the Dow. Delcath is the big winner of the day. It's up 90% on the approval of a cancer drug device, a Hepzato kit, a treatment for a type of liver-dominant eye cancer. Cardinal Health, pretty good company. They're kind of a generic drug company. It was up, and then the markets kind of pulled it back, but they beat by 7 cents, and their revenue beat by $810 million. So not a bad report there. And, you know, as we wind up this earnings season, we've got a few more this week. Walmart, probably the big one. Target, another big one this week. I think Lowe's also reports this week somewhere in that
mix.
Yeah,
a lot of retailers are, you know, always report kind of later. It takes, they got to do all their inventory counts and everything else, right? Figure out how much got stolen from the store.
And a lot of them have a January 30th year end instead of, you know, most companies have a 12/31 year end, but they have to get all the Christmas sales and returns tabulated.
And it's a little tricky. I mean, obviously, inventory counting that stuff, there's no real easy way to do it versus, you know, a lot of other inventory counts out there.
So anyways, I did say that we do have a look. We have really firm numbers for this year. Okay, it looks like the market, the S&P is going to do somewhere in the $220 to $222 area for earnings. Okay, now stick a 19.5 multiple on that. That's where we're at right now. You're not going to get 22.5. And now we have pretty solid numbers for 2023. I think that's kind of already baked in the cake, believe it or not. But we're getting our first look at 2025. I mean, how can you even look out that far? Well, it's one company at a time and what they're saying, and I published that in my newsletter over the weekend, along with a powerhouse featured stock of the week. Get 2 free weeks at the newsletter.
This is Bill Gunderson.
You got to go where you want to go.
And welcome back to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. So we'll look inside the internals of the market. The Dow down almost 300 points right now. I'm going to say it's mostly the global events taking place and the hostility here in the U.S. between the grand old party and the Democratic Party. That's a mess. I don't think it's sustainable. Something's got to give somewhere.
Yeah, and where you, I mean, and just like you said, just almost a global theme today. I mean, I saw where, you know, Canada's inflation was, you know, one of the stories this morning, and I'm trying to think back, like, you know, obviously an important country, but I just don't remember where, you know, that was a, like a market moving right figure,
right.
And it came in a little hotter than expected, but you know, so it's just unique how right now, certainly with a data dependent Fed. You know, it's you know, all kinds of data points around the globe are have much more focus on it. It seems like
yes, one of the hottest stocks in the Dow recently has been Amgen, and it's I think because they want to get in on it, they have something in the pipeline in that weight loss category. And
you
Amgen,
had your eye on them.
That has been a sleepy stock ever since it was put into the Dow. It's gone nowhere. And all of a sudden, you know, Amgen bottomed out. Now, here's the problem with Amgen. It's been a 4% grower. 4%. So all things being equal, you're going to get a 4% return on the stock. It's still a non-growth company. They did have report a pretty good quarter. They pay a dividend yield of 3.2%. Okay, so maybe a total return, you get 6 or 7% on Amgen. But if they can juice that growth somehow, and if it's going to be a weight loss drug of their own, right now I see kind of the hurdles to clear. You have to inject yourself with Wegovy. Okay, you start off with a small dose, and then each month you increase the dose, and it's not cheap. Amgen has a P.E. ratio of 15, I suppose, if you're a value, but it has a pretty good chart right now. It's kind of like Intel, you know, do I believe it this time or not? I'm going to look into it a little bit more. Right now it's just hard to justify. It's hard to come up with the target price. I'm just going to look and see what I have right now because of the slow growth at the company. We said we had 35% upside potential on Home Depot. Amgen is 28.6. Horrible. So you've got to see earnings growth, and you've got to see some multiple expansion there with something more exciting, with some growth coming back into the stock. So it's the best performer in the Dow today. It's up 1.4%. Home Depot's up 1%. Merck, which has got a little life in it recently, is up 0.5%. On the downside, though, what is it that's dragging? I'm going to say cyclical. I'm going to say stocks that are sensitive to the global economy, like J.P. Morgan, down 2.6%, like Caterpillar, down 2.5%, like 3M, down 2.1%, like Goldman Sachs, down 2%, and even oil prices coming back has got the oil price, the oil stocks on their back foot. Chevron's down 1.9% and Exxon's down 1.8%. Okay, and I bet we're going to see a similar pattern in the S&P 500. The biggest winner in the S&P 500 today from a percentage point of view, guess what that would be? NVR, which is the stock that Buffett is buying, right?
Right.
Okay, and NVR is, again, it's a $6,600 stock. Okay, Chipotle. Is that Chipotle having a good day? No, let me get something else there. Let's see. Chipotle is up. I see. NVR is the biggest point gainer. Match Group up 2%. Nothing to get to. D.R. Horton up 1.9% on a bad day in the market.
Yeah, a lot of those home builders are getting a boost from that.
And I have D.R. Horton with 79.3% upside potential. So actually, it does meet my valuation criteria. And, of course, now you've got Warren Buffett's money in D.R. Horton. Not too much else on the upside in the S&P 500. On the downside, C. That is a Singapore. It's actually a digital entertainment. I would compare it to Tencent Holdings, maybe to Google, really. That's kind of out of Singapore. They're getting clobbered today, down 28%.
Yeah.
Maybe the China contagion. Maybe we've got a contagion coming from China, hurting the rest of the world. Okay, I've got First Solar down 6.2%. The solar stocks continue to go nowhere. Macy's is down 4.3%. The big department stores continue to go nowhere. Comerica, I see some of these guys that bought into these regional banks when they were low are getting out of them now. And I think this threat by Fitch of downgrading more banks, that's hitting KeyCorp.
Well, and as long-term rates go up or stay higher for longer, that makes their balance sheet look worse for longer.
So. Yep, so not much happening today out there in the market. Now we go to the NASDAQ, where I'm not expecting to see. You've got two stocks, basically. You've got Amgen and NVIDIA. NVIDIA is still up 1%. And those are the leaders in the NASDAQ. On the downside in the NASDAQ, nothing really bad. PayPal, a stock I don't like, down 3.1%. Micron, which is all over the place, is down 3%. Expedia down 2.9%. Qualcomm down 1.8%. So that's kind of it. You have a mixed bag. Good news out of the U.S. economy on retail sales. And, of course, the earnings from Home Depot would back that up. We'll see how the earnings from Target and Walmart look tomorrow and Thursday. A lot of global events taking place that are a little bit disturbing in Argentina, Russia, China, and now in Georgia, right? Georgia.
Not the other Georgia.
No. I think our Georgia has more turmoil than the other Georgia. All right. So, look, if you want to get the newsletter, the macro outlook, we're looking out to 2025 right now. I think we've called the market pretty accurately since really 2009. It's key to get that newsletter. You get just the basic version of the newsletter for $195 a year, which has that macro outlook in it. every single week. And if you'd like a portfolio review financial plan, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.